morning. Today is Monday, April the 2th. Joining us this morning is Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
You got a quote here, huh? Apparently,
sure.
You expect me to read it because you wrote it out. From Peter Drucker. Good executive. You know, I've actually read that book.
Did you?
Yeah. And I like Drucker stuff just because it was kind of clear instead of all this theory.
Sweet and to the point.
Yeah, except they got stupid and threw him out of America, so he goes to Japan, and that's where we came up, you know, the Japanese economic machine in the 70s and 80s was Drucker. All right, other useless trivia I'm sure to follow. Our quote, good executives follow on opportunities rather than problems. I guess that word is really focus, huh?
Can't read my writing. That's part of the problem.
That's perfect. Good executives focus on opportunities rather than problems. Problems have to be taken care of course. They must not be swept under the rug. But problem solving, however necessary, does not produce results. It prevents damage. Exploiting opportunities produces results. Yeah, so now you're an exploiter too? Boy, you're just building your resume every single month we get together. Not even going to reply. You're learning, too.
I think that's some timely advice from the late Mr. Drucker, who knew a thing or two about how to run a successful business or see a company succeed. If all you do is focus on the negative or the problems in a community and you miss the opportunities that are out there to actually get some good things done and produce some results. And so there needs to certainly be balance. And like you said, you can't ignore the issues. You still got to deal with them. But your entire day shouldn't be focused on what's messed up, what the problems are, what are the opportunities that we can exploit.
I suppose that's one of the biggest frustrations you've got running your organization, I've got running mine, most of us in the community have at large, is that, you know, it's the negatives that get our attention. Okay. But there seems to be enough of them that they drain the emotion. So when you see an opportunity, instead of being excited and over the top and rah, 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 you've kind of been beaten down a little bit. So yeah, it's kind of like, oh, look, instead of punching it the way that we might have done in the past. And that for me is the challenge.
But the flip side of that is how much power are you giving to those negative things that you're experiencing? You know, how much control over your life? Because ultimately, all you can control is what you can control. The one thing that no one can ever take from you that you have complete control over is your attitude.
Certainly, certainly. But if you got five or six challenge, boom, 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 boom. Okay, here comes an opportunity. Okay, I kind of subscribe to the thought you've got so much energy every day.
And who, me? Anybody.
Okay, you got to, it's an amount. So if a lot of it gets, you know, I mean, you walk in the door, does everybody say, hi, Chief, how you doing? Let me give you a hug. Or it's, Steve, I got these issues that popped up over the last, you know, I need help.
Usually there's a pretty good stack on my desk when I come in.
Next so they don't even see you.
Next to the paper that has some more.
Yeah. So, and I think it's human nature to focus on that also. It was a great exercise we had a number of years ago. I had a buddy of mine came in to town, and he did a marketing seminar. And we bought cases of lemons. I said, Chris, what are you going to do with them? He said, trust me. Okay, fine. So we had like about, I don't know, 150 business folks there. And it was at the CR with the Forum Theater, which used to be used as a public space. Everybody came down and grabbed their lemon. He said, get to know your lemon. Everybody looks at their lemon, gets to know their lemon. And then we collect the lemons. And we laid them all out in a row up on the stage and said, find your lemon. Okay, I mean, a little bit of audience participation here. But the way you remembered it wasn't by how smooth and clean and everything was. It was by the abnormal thing, the thing that stands out, the thing that makes it unique. And I think that's just human nature, as we know. It's if today went the way you thought it would be a regular day.
Well, did you guys at least make some lemonade out of those lemons that life brought you at some point?
I don't have any idea what he did with them. And he did it two of his visits here. I was like, okay, I know where this one's going. So I got him oranges the second time instead of lemons, just to mess with him a little bit. But it's like driving through downtown. Somebody was in... last week. Oh, I know who it was, and I'll protect his name because he has a gun that he wears on his hip.
That describes a lot of people.
So I'll just kind of leave it there. But he said, you're driving through Eureka on a proportionate basis, we're just like San Francisco or San Jose or maybe even a little bit more because being in the county seat. And I don't think anybody can really take much exception to that. So it's a visible, you know, the homeless and the people walking across the street that don't seem to really know that there's another, you know, what to do kind of thing, just kind of lost in their own. And I think after a period of time, that kind of drags you down. I mean, you can be happy. You can be a great guy. You can have perfect attitude. But after a while, it's kind of like, well, okay, so instead of 4th and 5th Street, maybe I want to take F so I don't have to, mm-hmm. you know, and we start to, or walk across the street on another side so we don't have to contend with. And I would think that that's got to be a tough thing. For any community to deal with.
Well, it certainly is. I think the lesson, though, is if all you do is fixate on the problems, you miss opportunities, and there needs to be a balance for the good things that are taking place in the community, too, because you want to encourage more of that. You want more of the light to come in to push out the darkness, so to speak. But Broadway is tough because the way that the makeup of the city is, that is a natural funnel or conduit for many of the homeless, and so they're highly visible. To anyone that's traveling through town on the major thoroughfare there versus maybe some larger cities. Maybe you don't see quite so many on the main thoroughfare through the city because they have a certain area that they're hanging out at.
You know, I know we've only got about 20 seconds, so this is more of a yes, no. In hindsight, Palco Marsh as it was, Palco Marsh as it is.
I'd take it the way it is now before I'd ever go back to the Devil's Playground.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Steve Watson. Steve, the challenge I would think in being in law enforcement is that you don't, now you might at the top of the pyramid, but by and large, the folks you deal with aren't the average citizen by definition. I mean, it's an extraordinary event that brings you guys, you know, unless you're driving past the house, it's an extraordinary event one way or the other. How do you keep that happy attitude that we were referencing in the first segment, not getting Pollyannish, still having your feet on the ground, but not to get overwhelmed with one sense or another?
Well, it's a challenge, and to be completely honest, I often have to catch myself below the line, so to speak, and bring myself above. Because again, like you said, it's human nature when you're constantly inundated with issues and, you know, not only ones that maybe you see, you feel, you experience yourself, but also as kind of a conduit where, you know, others come and express their frustrations. And, you know, that's the business we're in. The law enforcement's job is, one, we're trained to catch people doing things wrong, you know, breaking the law. And then secondly, we get called because something went wrong. Someone stabbed somebody fought with somebody stole something that wasn't theirs, someone's having a mental health, you know, crisis, and the list goes on and on. So
yeah, you're in the pain and misery biz, pretty much.
But that actually goes back to my original point. So we have to, one, retrain ourselves to also catch people doing things right to remember that not everybody is having a bad day, making poor life decisions, victimizing others. Good people too. And then secondly, be present and engaged in the community. Look at positive activities, whether it's coffee with a cop, shop with a cop, where we take disadvantaged children out before Christmas with donations from the community.
Plop with a cop? No? Okay.
Well, there's hops and cops. Which, by the way, I suggest that instead of wine and swine from last year.
I would think that would be considered an upgrade. Yeah.
But by looking for, creating, and participating in these positive shared experiences with the community, that's how you balance that out. You remember that it's not just all the negative and responding to crises and crimes in progress and all of that.
Now, with the challenge that you've got time-wise, your staff, even if you were full, you're going to be busy. If you're understaffed a little bit, you're going to be busier. How do you carve out time during the day, or for the rank and file guys and gals that are out there, driving around? How do they carve out time in the day when they're going from call to call to call to call, to maybe walk a block in Old Town and just say hi to all the merchants or customers, that kind of thing, pop into a restaurant, say thank you very much, I'll buy these guys their soda?
Frankly, that is a challenge, particularly for the on-duty patrol officers, because they have very little free time with the call volume. A little bit easier for some of the specialty positions where you can move things around, but a lot of the community events we do are also after hours. The officers come on their own time and volunteer, which really says something about the caliber of people at the Eureka Police Department, not just officers, but every level of the department, from dispatch and records, and the list goes on and on. Some events can be planned in a way as part of community engagement, where we can free some people for short periods to go to that or make some adjustments to schedules. But when it comes to patrol, who bears a lion's share of those calls for service, that is a lot more difficult to do. So you just look for little opportunities here and there.
So you're saying that the officers out on the streets are actually working for their full shift, as contrasted to those higher up in the organizational chart?
Yeah, they have a lot of spare time.
Planning, I know, is something that Drucker, who was our source quote for today, was pretty strong into. If you don't have a target, it's tough to hit it, et cetera, et cetera. How do you look at the future? In 5 years from now, how does Eureka look? Are we talking about the same issues?
Well, hopefully not under about 6 inches of water, like you're starting to read about online with rising sea levels.
Yeah, right.
I think we're a little further down the road.
Yeah.
It's difficult to project. We didn't get to the place we're at today with the problems we have with habitual offenders wandering our streets because they're not doing jail time or going to state prison. And maybe even homelessness with the same degree we're facing it right now. Now, homelessness has been an issue for decades in Eureka, and certainly the whole 12, 13 years that I've been here. But right now, it's the perfect storm. And I think part of that's the unintended consequences from AB 109 or prison realignment, Propositions 47 and 57.
Now, there's the signature push to get that going.
Yes.
In the fall to kind of either... Is it to repeal or to revise?
No, they're very clear. It's not to repeal it. It's to fix what I would call some of the fatal flaws that were built in to each of those legislative changes. And so they need 365 or so thousand signatures by the end of April in order for it to qualify for the November ballot, which I believe it should. It's called the Reducing Crime and Keeping California Safe Act of 2018. So you can go to keepscalsafe.org, order petitions, or there's a number of them circulating around our community. Jeannie Breslin, who's heads neighborhood watch groups in Eureka, for instance, she has those petitions available, as do some of the other groups. I think Take Back Eureka might even have some available.
Now, does that give you an additional tool, or does that keep the folks that you are apprehending out of the pool for a while?
Both to a certain extent. It is not going to solve all the problems, and it's not going to magically free a lot of space at our local jail, which is what we really need. But it does give us more options with petty theft with priors than we currently have with the changes. It prevent some early releases that may be taking place or about to take place under Proposition 57, and does a number of other positive incremental steps in the right direction to undo some of the worst areas of damage for maybe 109 Props 47 and 57.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Steve Watson.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, and by Lolita Cheese. Steve, the discussions that are going on, I guess that's the simplest way, with some of the, it's around the Second Amendment, it's around gun control, it's around safety, it's around, either overly anxious cops, you know, the Sacramento situation, or I don't want to say stupid, but I don't think it's an intelligence issue. I think it was, you know, something else. But the response that you're seeing in the community, is any of that visiting EPD?
Well, are you referring to, because there's a couple of different threads here. One is fatal shootings involving law enforcement officers, and maybe even particular referencing Sacramento, fatal shootings of Black Americans, and the perception around that.
Is it just race-based?
Well,
is it just shootings?
That's an interesting topic, because when you look at the ratio, some arguments could be made that we don't have time to discuss today. The main topic that is in the national media, the narrative right now, focuses around the shooting of persons of color by law enforcement. And the other topic that's really in the news, obviously, that unfortunately and tragically keeps coming up, seems every few months, is school shootings, active shooters in schools.
Now, I had heard, and I forget which of the talk shows it was, that the actual numbers of incidents is half of what it was 25 years ago. However, those incidents that occur are of significantly larger magnitude. Does that ring true?
You know, I don't have the statistics from way back then, other than I know from Columbine forward, it seems clear that the mass casualty events have increased exponentially and unfortunately continue to do so. If I had my druthers, I think that the national media needs to have courage. I think they need to decide individually or collectively that they are no longer going to reward these terrible people by giving them the notoriety and the fame that they crave, that they believe they'll have after their death, and absolutely refuse to ever air their photos, ever utter their name, ever print their name, take it all away. You can talk about the victims, you can talk about the suspect in very vague terms, but don't give them what they crave.
Yeah, it kind of seems to be almost a self-fulfilling prophecy at that point.
It is. They quote and they worship these other people sometimes that have committed these atrocities, and that's an easy fix right there. Take that away.
Yeah, it would seem to be in that direction. When you hear the discussions around Second Amendment and gun control, gun limits, gun this, ammo that, one of the things that I still respond to is there was a statement that was made that an inanimate object in and of itself doesn't do anything. Okay, so if we're worried about this, taking guns away, well, it'd be the same thing as, well, let's take away cars because cars kill more people than guns do. this goofball, not to use a name, goofball in Austin. Okay, the bomb. Okay. Okay, well, let's take away nails because nails were killing. You know, that continuum of logic isn't one that gets played out, obviously, because it doesn't serve purposes. What would be your ideal scenario? Everybody have guns? Nobody have guns?
Well,
everybody have automatic? Nobody have automatic? Everything's shotguns instead of rifles? I mean, what when you're looking at this whole arena and you hear the discussions that are being undertaken, is there any consistency there that you can get behind?
Well, I do believe it is a Second Amendment right. I'm pro Second Amendment. I'd be more in the NRA camp than not, but I'm not an avid Second Amendment advocate, so to speak. I believe, one, we need to avoid knee-jerk reactions and have more thoughtful, measured responses. I don't believe your average citizen needs a fully automatic assault weapon, so there can be some reasonable limitations. I also don't think it's the government's job to tell a citizen how many firearms that they can own. And so I think we just need to find a thoughtful balance. The reality today is background checks are necessary.
Are they accurate?
No, nothing's ever 100%, but they definitely can catch. I mean, otherwise, how are you going to prevent a convicted felon that just robbed a bank, got out, from going and buying a firearm? So some reasonable common sense approaches. I think California, for the most part, has shifted too far. I think perhaps there's some other states that have not done enough, and I think you need to strike that thoughtful balance. I do see an orchestrated attempt to further restrict the Second Amendment rights of Californians that really needs to stop. But on the other hand, I definitely would agree as a law enforcement officer that there needs to be some reasonable restrictions and requirements that come with a responsible, safe gun ownership.
As challenging as I hear from you guys, as it is to get all the different law enforcement agencies that are serving in Humboldt County on the same page, dispatch.
Oh, we're 100% in lockstep.
Dispatch being the, yeah, okay, fine, yeah. Where's that Drucker quote?
we do have good relationships.
But the communications, the systematic communications. You know, if you have something, does CHP have access to it through a common point, or do you have to go hither and yon? Could the same be true nationally? I mean, if I would think that if the record sharing nationally was all on one system, it didn't matter if you were a state trooper or if you were a local sheriff, or if you were an officer of the local jurisdiction. Everybody's feeding into the same system, using the same terminology, putting everything in, that might clear up a lot of this stuff. And let's include the FBI in that equation as well.
Well, there's several different categories here. You have the National Crime Information Center that everyone has access to, and some other databases that do talk to each other, where a lot of this information is put. But when you get down to information that's possessed only by local agencies through their records management systems and computer-aided dispatch systems, then you start to maybe run into where there's not that integration, and that would be a tough problem to solve. Certainly,
would it be worth it?
I would have to research that issue a lot more. Maybe finding further ways to continue to integrate to make sure key information is shared. But there are already a number of databases that we all have access to. So, a bigger issue is integration of radio systems, for instance. Two agencies respond to an active shooter situation. If one can't talk to the other on a shared channel, you have a problem.
And let's make sure one isn't coming from the south and one from the north. KIDS News and Information Times, 8:44.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. Steve, I mentioned during the well, for the program, I don't. It's not really a green room. It's just kind of more like the room we get trapped in.
Gray and whitish.
Yeah, we call it a studio. That today starts the 35th year of the show. And I mentioned that Ray Shipley was on in the first week when we started this thing. And you had asked, have things changed? And we kind of talked. And it's kind of like, no. You know, other than the pulp mill's not there and the mill's not working. It's an awful lot of the same stuff. We both know if you have a dog that's barking, you have to break the routine so the dog stops barking, right? So we've got these consistencies that we've had over the years. How do we get that dog to stop barking, wrap some of these things up, and start making it so that in another 35 years we're not, well, we may not be sitting here, but somebody isn't sitting here talking the same way?
You know, it'd be a lot easier if you gave me a list of questions before I came on the show. I could research and prepare some thoughtful answers, maybe bring in a couple Stanford
professors. I think the spontaneity is the key to this thing.
Well, you know what's tough, though, are the problems exactly the same, or are there root causes or causal factors to those problems that have changed and maybe brought back old problems? We had homeless here, I know, 35 years ago, but... if you took a snapshot today, would it look quite the same as it did back then? Would the causes of that homelessness be the same back then that it is today?
Certainly the drug culture has grown and been embraced far more than
what we had drugs back then, but we're epidemic levels now in some areas.
Yeah, to the extent, and I think most of them probably in one shape, form, or another were around, but it wasn't as accepted. I think that there was a lot of peer pressure in a whole bunch of areas that don't seem to exist now. And that's the cultural aircraft carrier, and turning that one.
Well, you have reduced consequences today, and that is a factor. You definitely have a sense of normalcy or normalization that's taking place. You know, when you start with harm reduction programs and needle exchanges and people talking about safe consumption sites, certainly all those things can begin to lend itself more towards that almost like it's okay to use, or that it's normalized. And that's not to say that syringe exchange programs don't have a place today, given the infectious disease rates that are here. You know, that's tough for me to say, but it's a reality that we have. But how they're kept and balanced and how made to fit our community and our community needs without creating other unintended problems like needle litter is one of the great challenges that we're facing today.
So you summed it up pretty good.
Yeah, I pulled that one right out of my back pocket.
Oh, good. I thought it was out of your hat. Thanks for coming by, bud. See everybody tomorrow.